Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the full year 2016 preliminary financial results conference call. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Fabrizio Rossini, Head of Investor Relations of Salini Impregilo. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you, Judith. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone, and welcome to Salini Impregilo 2016 Preliminary Financial Results Conference Call. Our call today is hosted by Pietro Salini, Chief Executive Officer. Joining him for the presentation are also Massimo Ferrari, CFO and General Manager, and Alessandro Di Rosa, Deputy General Manager. In today's call, we will present and discuss the preliminary financial results for the financial year 2016. We will provide preliminary data, which may eventually differ from the consolidated financial results, which will be released on March 15. To this end, let me confirm you that today we will not provide a financial guidance for the current year, that instead will be communicated with the March 15 release. I remind you of the usual housekeeping safe harbor notice. Any forward-looking statements embedded in today's presentation and conference call remarks are based on our current expectations and planning assumptions, subject to risks and uncertainties. A recording file of today's presentation will be available shortly after the call and can be accessed through the Investor Relations section of our website. And now I would like to turn over the call to Pietro Salini, CEO, for his presentation. Thank you.
Good afternoon, good morning to everyone. Let me start by saying that we are very proud of the results because they meet, and in some cases exceed, the targets that we have set for. Massimo will comment more in detail on the financial performance of our group, so let me give you first a strategic overview. In the past 5 to 6 years, our group has undertaken a profound transformation. From a privately held construction company, we have rapidly grown into a publicly traded multinational global infrastructure leader. The acquisition of Lane Construction, carried out at the start of the last year, has further enhanced our global reach, enabling us to operate in the opportunity-rich U.S. market as a local company on a par-to-par basis with our U.S. competitors. But it is not just scale or growth that we are after. We are committed to perform and create value for our stakeholders. We set out to do this by first identifying the appropriate targets to pursue, and we acknowledge to have set quite ambitious targets, and then driving our group in a disciplined manner to meet them. Management and the whole company has been remarkably focused on these goals, and this is why I am proud to say that we have met or surpassed them for the third year in a row. This is no mean feat because, as I said, these targets were quite ambitious. In fact, we can say that no other group has grown its revenues as much as the last 3 years, even when excluding our acquisitions. And our margin have remained among the best within our peer group during the same period. Consistency of result, as any good sportsman knows, is much harder goal to achieve than a singular, if albeit sensational, exploit. And consistency of results, again, against aggressive targets, is what we can confirm today. We were able to secure a solid, consistent organic growth during the last 3 years, a level of profitability higher than the industry average, while maintaining all the while a very healthy financial structure and a low level of debt. But that's just the economic financial side of the story. So let's take a look also at what we have accomplished operationally. Let's take a look at the business side of the story. Slide 5. 2016 was a year of important accomplishment. First, we finished, handed over, and inaugurated the new Panama Canal, arguably one of the most complex infrastructure projects ever realized. It is now up and running and producing excellent revenues for the country. In 2016, we also consigned the Gibe Free Dam in Ethiopia. It was a project worth 1.5 billion euros, which confirmed our global leadership in the water sector. Another project that we are particularly proud of is the Stavros Niarchos Foundation Cultural Center, a 600 million euro project by Renzo Piano, that will bring to a new level the cultural institutions and services in Athens. There are, of course, several other examples that testify our ability to deliver on complex projects that sets us apart from our peers into the infrastructure market. Speaking of the markets in slide 6, let's see how this market is evolving. The infrastructure market is big enough to accommodate everyone in the industry. So what we do is focus on selecting the tenders that we have determined to be the most interesting by using a rigorous risk-reward analysis. The infrastructure sector appears set to benefit from the positive outlook for global GDP growth. In Europe and the United States, several projects for the renewal or fresh construction of new infrastructure have just either begun or just being prepared. In addition to the traditional segments where we are present, we are considering entry points in others that could complement our portfolio in the future. Starting from US, one of them is partnering with a large insurance company for the maintenance of dam and other sensitive infrastructure in order to mitigate risk exposure to any potential damage and liabilities. We are also starting to be active in studying potential technological applications to improve safety and damage prevention. All of this to say that there are new avenues to pursue beyond our traditional segments, which we are keen to explore for potential future growth. Let's now take a look at the market, slide 7. The global construction market has a combined value of more than 21 trillion euros, of which 5.8 trillion represent the group core construction reference market. Applying a strict selection criteria, we have identified a pool of projects worth 478 billion euros that interest us. Let me remind you that these figures are not projections. They are real projects with a name that have either been launched or are being developed by the government and other potential clients around the world. They are projects whose characteristics we already know and have decided to include in a short list of those to be pursued. Out of this pool, about 22% are in Europe, 18% in Italy, and 23% in North America. By segment, 36% pertain to metros and railways, 34% to roads and highways. Of total, 62% in a low-risk areas and 25% in a medium-risk one. Slide 8 illustrates how, over the course of the last 3 years, we have changed the geographic distribution of our project and turnover. It is a more disciplined approach to reduce our exposure to risk. This has led us to increase our presence in the United States from a mere 3% to 25% of total sales. In Africa, meanwhile, we have reduced the contribution of it from 33% to 17% of the total turnover. Another key indicator I would like to comment on is the concentration of our top 10 projects. The ratio to the total number of projects has decreased from 66% in fiscal year 2015 to 52% in last year, another sign of our effort to reduce our exposure to risk. Turning to slide 9, we can see how the wide geographical diversification is a key characteristic of our group. Salini Impregilo has the largest geographical footprint among the world's largest construction companies. This has helped the group to spread out risk and secure a very attractive level of profitability, higher on average than our peers. Another differentiating factor is that we have the largest average project size among our competitors, close to 700 million euros against about 300 million euros for our peers. If we look back at the strategic vision that we outlined at the time when we launched our acquisition of Impregilo, it is a vision that I am happy to say has been respected to this day, a vision that our group has worked hard to realize, to become a leading pure infrastructure player, specialized in large and complex projects, and to become the most geographically diversified group. Moving on slide 10, to look at the new order evolution, last year was very fruitful. The total value of projects acquired came to 7.3 billion euros, easily exceeding the 1.1 book-to-bill level we had set as a target for the year. Among the major contracts won, there is the Koisha Dam in Ethiopia for 2.5 billion euros. Awarded in June, it is already up and running. Then there is a large dam in Tajikistan for 1.8 billion euros, whose work is also underway. Acquisition by Lane have been performed very well, reaching a total of nearly $2 billion, including the Parfait Line near Washington, D.C. There was also a very good performance by the plants and paving business, for which we see a growing demand. It has been recently strengthened by the acquisition of the ARM plant in West Virginia. Since 2012, total new orders have totaled more than 20 billion euros, an outstanding achievement. Meanwhile, new orders acquired on the pipeline have already reached the excellent threshold of 1.8 billion euros. Finally, in slide 11, let me comment briefly on our total backlog, which has reached 36.9 billion euros, representing the highest revenues coverage level in the industry among our peers. The construction-only backlog is 29.4 billion euros. For 2019, at the end of our plan, the target is set to 39 billion euros. Few groups can boast a pipeline of awarded projects this large. It allows us to look with confidence at the targets we have set for ourselves under the 2016-2019 business plan. And now let me turn over to the floor to Massimo Ferrari for his comment on the group financial performance. Massimo.
Thank you very much, Pietro. Good afternoon and good morning, everyone. I cannot hide my pride for having hit for the third consecutive year the disclosed targets, and let me thank our team in Milan, our teams around the world, and in particular the Lane's team that let us to provide you a preliminary consolidated results in advance, and they operate like a listed company, so we are very proud and thanks to everyone. Turn on slide 13. As Pietro already told you, we improved the net debt position against the target. We have a significant EBITDA increase to 559 million, with an increase of 9% versus 2015 adjusted numbers in order to include the Lane acquisition. Also, if we provide just the figures to the EBIT number, we can anticipate that the tax rate will be close to the one that we had in the first half of 2015 and should have been lower if you consider an extraordinary tax settlement of around 4 million euro that we settled in 2016. We had a robust level of new orders, 7.3 billion, achieving and exceeding the target for 2016 that was 1.1 book-to-bill. The construction backlog is close to 30 billion euro. We have a very strong tender pipeline, and as you probably read in the press release, we already achieved in the first 2 months of 2017 close to 1 billion and 700 million euro of new order, half coming from US, half from the rest of the group. It's very important, as Pietro underlined, the Lane performance with a backlog record in the long history of Lane, higher than 2.5 billion euro. A very strong cash generation with a net cash position of about 100 million euro, and 850 million new orders already acquired in the first months of 2017. On slide 14, you see the main figures that we approved and we discussed also in the board meeting. The net debt position closed at 351 million, significantly better than our target and closely to the position that we had in 2015, of course, including the debt coming from the Lane and ARM acquisition. Slide 15, you see another improvement, that significant improvement that we made in 2016 related to the debt maturity profile and also to the increase of the fixed component of the gross debt. The gross debt figures remains very close to the one that we had in 2015. We significantly decreased the overall cost of the debt, moving in the last 3 years from 5.3% to 3.5%. Let's now turn on slide 16 to comment the Lane performance. It's the first time we disclosed both the figures for 2015 and 2016 for Lane. These are numbers in euro. The revenues was 1,544 million, EBITDA 73 million with an EBITDA margin 4.7%, and a net cash position of 96. Really better than our expectation. For the U.S., then we of course are available for any question on U.S. market. We invested in 2016, and we have in front of us a significant effort in terms of bidding activity. We actively pursued more than $3.7 billion of new order, and we are developing close to $6 billion of new bid in 2017. I leave the floor to the Q&A session if there are no other closing remarks from Pietro.
No, I will go after.
Thank you, Judith. We can now open the floor to questions.
Okay, so this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We'll now begin the question and answer session. The first question is from Giuseppe Mapelli, Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everyone. I have one question that is related to your management view that you share with us. I understood that in the management view you consolidate the JVs in a proportional way, and let's say, if I'm not wrong, maybe, as I was not able to read carefully your press release, but it seems that the JVs have an EBIT margin that is in a region of 11%, if I'm not wrong, or sorry, 10%. But if I take away this contribution, I'm seeing, let's say, a standalone margin for Lane, or rather, a margin for Lane without this contribution of only 1%. Can you explain these differences between margins of JVs and business ex JVs? Thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. We will provide for sure more detail in March 15, but just to give you an idea, the marginality of the coming from the JVs of Lane is close to the marginality of the statutory revenues coming from Lane. Just to give you a general answer.
So it's an accountancy issue, or it's something that is related to the type of work? It's in a qualitative point of, from a qualitative point of view.
The overall marginality, both for JV and no JV, is close to 4.7% for Lane. I missed to tell you that there is the PPA effect that net in at the EBIT level is close to 3 million, so a non-material effect. We have some effect, and we will discuss later, in terms of higher depreciation and some also effect in terms of more EBIT. But the net effect in terms of EBIT is just 2.5 million euro.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening to everybody. Yes, I have three questions. The first one is on the U.S. I see the outlook that you provided on the intake opportunities that you see. But you also, flagged in the presentation that the year-to-date intake that you achieved is basically one-fourth of your, ideal target you have for this year. What I would like to understand is what is the focus of the company here, if you are targeting, much more complex project with a focus on, subways or tunneling or even the dams, having seen what happened recently in California, probably there will be a renewed focus on that segment. The second question is on Italy. I see Italy, the contribution of Italy extremely low this year. What I would like to understand is if you can provide us, an outlook on the two major projects on the high-speed railway side, so the Milan-Genova and also the Brescia-Padua, in order to see what's your view here on the contribution of these two projects for 2017. And the third question is on the cash flow generation, just to have an idea of your technical capex that you expect in 2017. Thanks.
Yes, just to say something about that, it's Pietro Sardini speaking. Of course, for us now, U.S. is the primary market. You see us as an Italian company, but we make now in Italy 7% of our turnover. And more than 25% of our turnover is done in the U.S. So for us, the focus and the focus of all the management and our the most important issue is developing the U.S. market. And as such, of course, we cannot limit our presence onto the highway and plant, which is the basic works that were under done by Lane. We are also bringing to Lane all our competence that we achieved worldwide into the dam sectors. You may imagine really recently, for instance, the problem that the country suffer from the aging or their infrastructure, which brought the Oroville dam in California to have 250,000 people be displaced by the potential risk of losing their life. So imagine the situation of the infrastructure, and especially of dams, which is potentially very dangerous for the people, will be a significant issue in which we have to work in order to give to the country in which we feel national. We are national in U.S. We are a U.S. company in U.S. We think that it is part of our service to the community to make our best to put to pull our experience to be the largest dam builder in the world and the most competent one to the service of the country. So we have in front of us a very large job to do in order to give to the country some new jobs coming from the maintenance of that very large infrastructure that they already possess, and also making new one. The idea for the market it is that there will be a tremendous boost by this administration to the to the heavy civil engineering and transportation, and will be one of the issues, but also, of course, railway will be maintained, and also the water will be one of the very big issues. We are number one into the water sector, so we think that the competence of Salini as a group and through lane will be a very important asset over our plan. Into the plan, you remember that we were looking to reach a 30% total turnover coming from U.S. From the 2019 figures coming from U.S. But I think that this year started so well that I think that we'll be surprised positively from U.S. and that we can say that we expect, as I said recently, a record year for Lane already in this year. For what happens to Italy, I just said to you that we are making 7% of our turnover in Italy. It is, of course, a very important infrastructure. The one you are saying, the high-velocity train, it is part of the important transportation system of Italy. We are, of course, taking into consideration all the difficulties that we have in performing this infrastructure in Italy for a number of reasons. So we take this into account when we made the plans and when we declare our targets for the year in 2016. And of course, we were consistent into doing that also for the years 2017, 18, and 19. So we may be surprised positively by some further development, but we took already our let's say safe assumption in terms of productivity for the Italian markets.
Okay.
Regarding the capex, we will disclose when we will show the guidance for 2017. We do not expect to be far from the figures that we put in the business plan.
Mm-hmm. And just have an idea, the 350 million, let's say, in debt that you closed is based on, which level of capex you spent?
In 2016, a lower level of capex, around 210 million.
Okay, 210.
So just to give you an idea, in our calculation, the operating cash flow generation is close to 89 million in 2016.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Alessandro. Judy, next question, please.
The next question is from Bruno Permutti of Banca IMI. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. I have two questions. The first one relates to Panama. I would like to have your feeling about the for what you can see about how the operations of the Panama canals are going, and if this can impact, in your view, on the development of the negotiations you have with the authority for the canal, so to have a feeling of overview on how is evolving the situation on your negotiation on Panama. And the second one concerns the Middle East. Something has changed in the macro environment. I believe with the oil prices in the last few months. So I wanted to I would ask you to some your view on how this market is moving, if there is something that is going on a little bit faster than probably last year when even if you had the important contracts going on, the general market probably was a little bit uncertain. Okay, these are the 2 points.
Okay, I'll respond to you briefly. On the Panama situation, as you know, we have delivered the infrastructure, so they are using it. They are taking money out of the ships. This has been an achievement because, of course, everybody was, first of all, worried about the fact that, taking into account the level of confrontation between the two parties, there could be something that could make that impossible. In reality, we did it, and this is a very important achievement. Now there is a program in front of us that I talk about that many times, which is lengthy, and of course it takes some years in front of us because it's an arbitration procedure, which is very complex and very disciplined. So there's a lot of people involved. So it would take a couple of years just to get results. So unfortunately, I cannot give you new ideas because it's a process that have to be done, and it will take the time which is necessary and which has already been declared to the market before. Going back to the Middle East, of course, it's recovering from the shock he had before for the level of price sudden drop that had before, and it's increasing. It's increasing its appetite for infrastructure, I would say. We didn't take that into account in our assumption into the plan, so let's say that we've been very conservative on what we expect from the Middle East as a market. So maybe there can be something that goes better than expected, but we do not rely on that. So let's say that for us, of course, it is a very important market. It is a traditional market. It is a market that needs us. We are accomplishing some of the most outstanding projects in the world. The Metro of Riyadh, as an example for all, is a very important infrastructure, and we are working there in with a certain satisfaction. So let's say that there are nothing special on that to say. Apart from the fact that, of course, a bigger, larger price of oil for them is particularly important, and it is going to have positive outcome on the infrastructure market there.
Okay, thank you. If I may, still one question regarding the cashing of advance payment, only to ask if you cashed in all the advance payment you expected to have in 2016, or there is something more to come.
Well, relating to payment, the fact that we have outperformed in sense of net financial position gives you the immediate reply to the fact that we have been paid, and even let's say we were faster pace than could have been envisaged on the figures that we gave as an estimate. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Sorry, but Bruno, let me add figures that then we will disclose also during the roadshow. We closed with 1,600,000,000 of overall liquidity. We will have very few gross debt that will expire in 2017, close to 43 million. And then another important information are the non-recurrent items in 2016. You remind probably the exchange reserve coming from Todini that we put in the first half, that was 13 million. Then we have the tax settlement, both at level of tax rate, but also at level of discontinued operation, overall around 11 million euro, and then some settlement on Chile works and South Arabia works for an overall one-off effect of 47 million euro in 2016.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Bruno. Next question, please.
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening to everybody. No, just if you can, let's say, elaborate a bit more on this one-off that you mentioned, just mentioned on this 47 million one-off you see. Just an idea of which is related. Thanks.
Sorry, I didn't understand.
You just said that you basically are going to record.
Related to South Arabia, no, it's just a dated litigation coming from Impregilo.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a very, very old litigation that we closed with a settlement with 6 million of the impact on EBIT.
Okay. So just to sum up, basically you are telling us that, let's say, below the EBIT line, the one-off that you expect to see and you already basically recorded are these 47 million, the 11 million overall tax settlement that you mentioned, is it right? And then we already had the 13 million related to Todini, right? Loss.
That's right.
Okay, thanks.
Next question, Judith.
The next question is from Giuseppe Marcella, Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. And the business plan, the new one, was focused on the risking, and I see a very good progress there looking at the geographical breakdown. The second pillar was the free cash flow generation. Can you please disclose the amount of free cash flow generated in 2016? Sorry, but I missed some elements for the calculation. And do you expect any acceleration in your free cash flow generation profile in 2017. Thanks.
Let's say, before talking a little bit about risk management, because I think it is important to understand what we are doing on the company, and now Massimo will give you the free cash flow data. The process of risk management is a very complex process that is now going around the company and interfering with all the processes that we have in front of us, from the process of bidding to the one of the production. Everything is passed through a filter of the risk management. So it means that the risking the company and the risking the portfolio means a very important processes in terms of people, in terms of interference with the operation, in terms of bidding, in terms of how we do the things. So when we talked before about transformation of the company, we were talking exactly to that. You do not see that expressly into the EBIT margin, the work that we have done in terms of organization, but you will see that into the consistencies of the data into the future years. So it means that we are aiming to de-risk the company in terms of choosing markets, which are, of course, with a risk profile which was different from before, which means U.S., which means Europe, which means Australia. So growing in areas in which the risk profile of the country, it is better than the risk profile which was before, and decreasing as a size, not necessarily in absolute value, the size of markets which are perceived as riskier. The second issue is also how we do things. So the risk mitigation measures which are identified are strictly controlled in terms of execution and whilst we do the operation. So it means we have a different process of making things. So this is For instance, the idea that I just give us a glimpse of having the 10%, the 10 largest contract turnover coming from that 10 largest contract going from 65% to 50% means a totally different profile of the company in terms of risk. Of course, if something happens to one of the most important contracts, it will be have a different impact now into the company account. So this is talking about the risk in the company. Massimo, can you give the figures in terms of
free cash flow? Meaning operating free cash flow, so EBITDA plus working capital variation, capex, taxation, financial charges. As I mentioned before, I probably said 89, it's 94 in our calculation. Then if you consider dividends, the ARM, the plant acquisition we made in Virginia Beach, the equity in joint venture, and other net equity variation, the free cash flow is 19.
Thanks.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
Just to say something, because otherwise I think that it is a bit confusing to talk about extraordinary result without giving you the figures for the net income, which is the thing that everybody expects. I think that we should give a figure which is around 60 million for the company, 60 million of net income, which compares with around 40 million at the same perimeter for the 2015. It means an increase in terms of net income, which is close to 40%, 38% in reality. So it means a very large increase. What I would say also, Massimo was a little bit shy on saying that the work which has been done on the tax rate has been giving results which are now even better than the one we expected. Around 40% the tax rate, which is comparable to our peers' rate, it is already influenced and taking into account around 4 million of tax, which is impacting on that. Without that, it could be a little bit lower than that. So let's say we have done a very good job on going down from the 52% that was last year to the 40%. So we can say that the assumption we made in the plan of reaching that tax rate are also something which has been beaten in terms of reaching that before that were foreseen into the business plan.
Thank you, Giuseppe.
Just a quick follow-up. You mentioned 60 million net profit at the consolidated level.
Yeah, after minorities.
Okay.
Thank you, Judith.
The next question is from Andrea Balloni of Fidentiis. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for taking my question. First one is about debt trend. If I look at the slide number 4, I see that the bigger...
Andrea, can you repeat the questions? You're breaking.
Yeah, sorry. I'm looking at the slide number 4 about the net debt. It looks that this year you did a good bit compared to your initial guidance. Can you detail more about that? What was better than expected compared to your guidance of 400 million euro? My second question is again about free cash flow generation. I'm really sorry, but I'm pretty confused. Because you mentioned initially 89 million free cash flow, then if I have understood, you also stated 94 plus some other cash generation from JV. So can you give us the final number? Sorry. about that. And my last question is about the order intake of 1.7 billion. Probably I lost it, but can you provide a breakdown between US and not US for this 1.7 billion? Thank you.
Starting from the last question, as we mentioned before, it's half coming from US, half coming from the rest of the group, the new order.
Okay.
That will be finalized in the coming weeks. Coming back to the operating free cash flow, the numbers, the right numbers is 94. Then, if you consider dividends, the acquisition we made in plants from Lane, a very small contribution in equity in JV and concessions also, that is just 5 million, to give you an idea, and other net equity variation, the free cash flow, the final free cash flow is 19.
Okay. So, but the operating one, the pure operating free cash flow is 94.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
That is higher than our expectation because we put this kind of target for 2017 in the original business plan.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And regarding the net financial position, we did something better in terms of managing the cash conversion cycle, in cashing some receivable, significant receivable at the end of the year, in the last a few days of the years, and nothing else.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Andrea. Judith?
The next question is a follow-up from Giuseppe Mapelli, Equita. Please go ahead.
Sorry, I would like to come back again on one-offs because I'm not able to reconcile figures. If I'm not wrong, you stated that you have 6 million euros negative impact coming from Saudi Arabia, and that was related, was recorded above EBIT. And then we have to consider 4 million taxes as one-off. Then there were something like 20 million. That you already booked in the first half, related mainly to Todini, that were 13 million.
Yes.
What am I missing?
You miss the Chile metro settlement, that is at the EBIT level.
How much is it?
18.
18. Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Giuseppe. Judith?
The next question is a follow-up from Alessandro Tortora, Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening again. Sorry, I promise this is the last question, but given, let's say, the one-off that you mentioned, related to the project from Impregilo that you mentioned, you said 47 negative impact million.
Just 6 million.
Ah, 6 million.
6 million.
Okay. Otherwise, it would be difficult, okay, to reconcile. So
yeah.
6 million, okay, on this. Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Alessandro. Yes, Judith.
At this moment, no, there are no more questions registered.
Okay. Thank you very much, and this concludes for our call today. Thank you, everyone, for participating, and we wish you a pleasant evening or day, depending on our geographic situation. Thank you.
Bye-bye.